You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
All right, we are down to the third installment of our series called Cross Check. We have started a series 3 weeks ago. We've looked at the first one, self-denial. Last, we've talked about hard truth. Today, we're going to talk about path to greatness. As we talk about the path to greatness here this afternoon, we will be touching quite a number of things that's actually relevant to our generation. Perhaps we will be talking about self-glory, self-advancement. We might be talking about pride and humility. Okay, we're going to talk about all of these things. I'd like for us to turn our Bibles for a while to Matthew chapter 20. We will be reading from verses 20 down to verse 28. In Victory, we are reading from the ESV. That's the English Standard Version. Verses 20 to 28 is basically titled A Mother's Request. It says here, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before Jesus, she asked him for something. And he said to her, what do you want? She said to him, she told Jesus, say that these two sons of mine are to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. Jesus answered, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? They said to him, we are able. He said to them, you will drink my cup indeed, but to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared for by my Father. And when the 10 heard this, the other disciples, they were indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, I'm not much of a movie person. The last Robin Hood that I watched was starring Kevin Costner in 1992 yata. Hindi pa naman ako ganun katanda. I'm saying that because just a couple of days ago, it's my first time and my only time to watch Crazy Rich Asians, which premiered, I think, on the third quarter of last year. So I'm kind of late when it comes to movies. So I was watching this film and there's this specific instance here wherein Astrid and her husband was in a dilemma wherein they were about to separate, for that matter, okay, because her husband is having an affair with someone. So there was a good dialogue or conversation there wherein, you know, Astrid, I was telling him that, you know what, I cannot make you the man that you are not, something like that. So that's quite the highlight of the film as well. What caught my attention was what that guy, I don't know what his name was in the film. He was so irrelevant, I didn't get to catch his name. But, you know, he was saying so many things. He was enumerating so many things. Part of that were accusations against his wife. Just to give us a picture, it was like saying, the reason why I'm having an affair is because of this one, because of this one, because of this one, and because of this one. And you know what? I want to pick from that for a while. I want to talk about that. We're not going to be talking about divorce or affair here this afternoon, but we're going to talk about selfishness. We're going to talk about self-glory. It's not difficult for us to understand that every single one of us here in this room are actually committed. In fact, our generation right now is actually committed. We are committed. But the sad reality is a lot of times, or most often, we are committed to ourselves. And I want you to understand is every time we banner self-love, in fact, every single interpersonal relationship issues in this world will find its root in a violation or a deviation of Genesis 1, verse 27, which is a violation of the imprint and the image of God in every single one of us. So every time we honor in a subtle way, conscious way, or unconscious way, our commitment only to ourselves, that is when this integration of relationships will happen. And this is basically what this series is all about. If you have been following us the past couple of Sundays, for this specific installment, we're looking at things that we don't want to happen, but this is something that the world is teaching us. That, you know, people would teach us that we are our own brand, and that is why we have to develop our own brand. You know, it's not a problem if you are in the field of entrepreneur or stuff like that, but you know, we live in a world wherein we love bannering ourselves. We love advancing our own name or our own agenda for that matter. So allow me to give us a context of Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. I'm going to give us two contexts here this morning. The first context is the larger one, And the other one is the immediate context. So let me look at the larger context. Okay, you can go and turn with me to Matthew chapter 19, verse 28. Matthew chapter 19, verse 20, this is the larger context of Matthew chapter 20. It says here, Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the world that is to come," in short, in heaven, all right? "When the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne," Jesus says, "you, my disciples," to be more specific, "the 12 of you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Those are heavy promises, is it right? Jesus was talking to them about a throne that they will start having in the future because of the fact that they have followed Christ. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake, Bible says, Jesus tells them, will receive a hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. When we started off this series, we started talking about self-denial, which involves what? Jesus was saying, if anyone would want to follow me, you'll have to do these three things. You, what? Deny yourself, you take up your own cross, then you follow me. And those are hard truths because in the middle of that, people were sieved for that matter. Meaning to say, there were a group of people who wouldn't want to count the cost of discipleship because discipleship has a cost. Is that right? Discipleship has a cost. Something will be taken from us. Something will be asked from us. There are some things in our lives that we will have to surrender if you want to seriously follow the Lord Jesus Christ. If you consider yourself just a nominal one, a lukewarm, you go to the book of Revelation, what happens to lukewarm Christians? You come to understand that, you know, this is not for you. But for those who want to seriously follow Christ, who want to pursue, he will not swerve to the left or to the right. You know, Jesus gave some guidelines. Now, it says here, Jesus was saying, if you will seriously follow me, guess what? You will have thrones in heaven. When I become exalted in my throne, you will have thrones with you as well. And together with me, you will see as to how we're going to judge Israel for that matter. But the immediate context here is found in Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 to 19. So, you get the larger context and the immediate context. Immediate context basically means these are the last few verses just right before Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 to 28. It says here in verse 17, "And as Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside, and on the way he said to them," see, he says, "we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man," he was talking about himself, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day." I want you to follow this. The larger context is Matthew chapter 19, verses 20 to 29. It starts talking about reward, your reward for following Christ. But right after that, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 17 to 19, it starts shifting back to the common theme in the New Testament, which is suffering. All right? That is a common theme. There is an overtone. If you read your Bible, you'd come to understand, wait a second, I realize that Christianity is not all about health, wealth, and prosperity and happiness. If you're reading your Bible, you'd come to understand, Christianity is not all about happiness, how to make you happy, how to have the best life now. You wouldn't have your best life now. You're going to have your best life with the Lord Jesus Christ in the future. It's not about you being wealthy. Of course, you can be prosperous in this lifetime. We're not against that, of course. But if you look at the New Testament, there's an overtone of suffering there. So it shifts back in Matthew chapter 20. It starts talking about the suffering of Christ again. Then after that, that is the text that we are looking at. Here's the problem. Here's where the tension lies. The tension lies in Matthew chapter 19, verse 28, wherein, for some crazy reason, despite the fact that Jesus didn't lack in teaching them about suffering, that they too will suffer, that there's a cost in following Christ, despite the fact that Jesus taught all of those things, what caught their attention were the thrones. Catch it? Have you ever talked to a person wherein you're saying so many things, but they only get consumed with a few things that you said? Then you feel like they're already drifting, they're no longer listening to you. They're like looking at you and agreeing with you, but they're just giving a blank stare. Why? Because what they wanted to hear, they've already absorbed it. And this is what we have here. There were so many things that were said, but they got so consumed with glory. They got so consumed with the prospect of what? Of them having their own thrones in the future. If you read your Bible, you'd come to understand that for a Christian man, for you and for me, there will be rewards in the future. Are you excited for the rewards? There will be rewards for how you have lived your life. But the problem with the disciples was that they got so consumed with the prospect of having their own throne. I don't know what they were thinking. Probably they're thinking about their names on the throne. This throne belongs to James. This throne belongs to John and stuff like that. If you look at the next verse, it says here, they will receive 100-fold for those who have left their livelihood. And true enough, you know, these guys have left so many things to follow Christ. So now they got so consumed with the reward. I want us to understand that when people say God blesses the holy with prosperity, that is not actually a right statement. Because you have to come to understand or reconcile with the fact that Paul, when he lived his life, was marked by dangers. So if you're telling me that the holy person, the saint, the Christian man will be blessed with prosperity, then how can you tell that to Paul? How can you tell that to Job? Are you folks catching this? At the end of the day, let me just put this in the right perspective as you start looking at verse 20 down to verse 28. I want us to understand we are all here today only because of the sheer grace and mercy of God. Amen. Apart from God's mercy, you won't be here. If you're thinking about your 13th month, you're thinking about your money in the bank, everything else is a bonus. But you being here today, us being here today, is only because of the mercy and the grace of God. Let's look at verse 20. It says here, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him with her sons, and kneeling before him, it says here, she asked him for something. Now, look at this one. It says here that James and John, these two guys who are actually adults, okay, brought their mom with them to request Jesus for something. Sana palang sabi dito, hindi na lang sons, sana babies. The Bible says, the mother of the sons of Zebedee came before Christ, came before the presence of Jesus, and what did she do? She knelt before Jesus. Is that right? Okay, she knelt before Jesus. Kneeling before Christ tells us that that is such a pious or a very reverential attitude that she has. For someone to kneel before Jesus, before they request something from Jesus. Then here's what happens. As she was showing reverence, as she was showing a posture of piety, it says here, she asked Jesus for something. So here's where the tension is. What was the request of the sons of Zebedee that was coursed through their mother? Here's a request. It says here, Jesus, please say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. I want us to really understand this and embrace this. Credits to James, John, and their mother, which we will discover who this mother is. Credits to them because the issue of whether Jesus is the Messiah or not has already been settled. Meaning to say, it's not an issue for them whether is Jesus really the Messiah or not? Is he really the Christ or not? It has already been settled. Credits to them because they really know that Jesus is the Lord and the Savior. Catch it? Jesus is really the Lord and the Savior. The problem here was that was not their issue. Their issue was they got so consumed with these thrones right here that, you know, they started talking about it, and then their mother would come to Jesus and tell Jesus, Jesus, you told my sons about the thrones in the future. Is it possible that they sit on your left and at your right? You know what this is called in our generation right now? It's power play. It's basically power play. Now, look at this one. This is where, for a brief moment, you'll be angry with James and John. John the Beloved, right? I'm talking about John the Beloved here. You'll be angry with them. You know why? Look at this one. The immediate context of these verses are found in verses 17 to 19, which talks about what? The death of Christ. Which talks about the death of Christ. Imagine this with me, friends. If you are beside someone who's on their deathbed, what do you tell them? Lolo, I remember the day when you were walking me at Boulevard. We were together with our cute puppy. Lolo, thank you so much for that. It's a good thing to say. Lolo, I remember the time when you gave me all of these things. You provided for my tuition and stuff like that. Good thing. Imagine if you tell your lolo, Lolo, unsa ako share? Tapos yung lolo mo naghihingalo, Lolo, pwede ako na lang ang balay sa Banilad? That is what we have here. I mean, it's quite rude. It's quite rude. It's quite brash. It's quite insensitive. It's quite inconsiderate for James, John, and their mother to present their request to Jesus, having this as the immediate context where Jesus was talking about his death. That is why I'm telling you, if you're committed to yourself, your relationships will disintegrate. Pag ikaw, ang lagi mong iniisip, yung sarili mo lang, your relationships will disintegrate. If you're selfish, you're only for your self-advancement, your relationship will start to disintegrate for that matter. Here's how I know that this is such a big power play. The mother of the sons of Zebedee is actually Salome. Salome is actually the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So it gives us a picture that James and John were actually first cousins of the Lord Jesus Christ. So imagine that with me, they took advantage of that connections. Uso po sa Pilipinas to. Paano ka nakapasok sa trabaho na yan? Brad, connection. In fact, pag wala kang connection, hindi ka makakapasok. This is not a contemporary problem. This has been the problem of the sinful nature of men. It's even present in the lives of the disciples, the very 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, these guys are part of the inner circle of Christ. Let's try to analyze this request. It says here, say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom. Let's try to bring this down to our level. What they wanted was the chief seats. Anyone here who's ever flown business class in a plane? It's just totally different. Right? If you're in the business class, you're treated like a VIP. If you're in the economy, you're treated like an ordinary person. But if you fly business class, you're given every single thing that you need. What they wanted was, they wanted the choice seats. In this church, they realize that the only reserved seats that we have here are the red ones, green ones, tsaka yung blue ones. Blue ones for the usher, red ones for the senior citizen, and the green one. We don't have a violet one for Mr. Mark De Quito. Don't have stuff like that. Pero ang request nila, nakakatakot. Kasi ang request nila is they wanted to sit beside the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted position. They wanted glory. Now, how does this relate in our generation right now? And this is something that's quite relevant to many of us. For example, when you say chief seats, at least in our generation, it could be what? The desire for popularity. It's difficult when you desire for popularity because at one point in your life, if you keep desiring for popularity, you will have to compromise some convictions to be able to get that. And sometimes it is not the desire for popularity, but alam mo yung parang laging bida sa usapan? Yung bang parang nag-uusap ko, parang feeling mo parang wala akong kwentang tao. After ng usapan, yung hindi ka na-encourage, wala kang kwentang tao. Ikaw na, sir. Ikaw na, ate. Because their name is always at the forefront of every single story that they're saying. Sometimes it's not just that, sometimes it's what? It's parading of self. You want to parade yourself in a subtle way or in a very forward way. You want to make sure that people know who you are and the things that you're doing. Self-glory is one. The other one is self-branding. That you work so hard, you spend so much money, and do all sorts of things just to be able to brand yourself a certain way. Sometimes it's what? It's you feeling like you're too important to serve. These are the same thing. These are still going for the chief seats. Sometimes it could be what? You cannot hassle in silence. For some reason, kating-katikan at kailangan malaman ng lahat ng buong mundo kung anong pinagagawa ko. Ito po yung number of books na binasa ko, nakailang chapters po ako. Ito po yung amount ng money na ibigay ko sa taong to. This is the kind of charity that I am in. You just cannot hassle in silence. Because you want the attention for yourself. Sometimes it could be what? You're being stingy or incompassionate. Or sometimes it's what? Jealousy or insecurity. Which might result to what? You keep comparing yourself to other people. It's a tiring life, friends. It's a tiring life. And the saddest part there is when you start grumbling. Be honest with me. Anyone here has grumbled over anything? Sometimes we grumble over small things and we are all guilty of this one. Minsan kahit sa simbahan, puro tayo reklamo. Nakesyo, wala nito, hindi ginagawa to. I tell you what. At the end of the day, you have to understand that you don't deserve anything. Pag pumasok ka na simbahan at ang mindset mo, pagsisilbi yan, ka sa restaurant ka pumunta. Dahil sa simbahan, ay tuturo natin, magsilbi ka. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 12, it is what to teach you to do the work of the ministry. So it gives us a picture that even as a pastor, it gives me a picture that I have to leverage on that and understand and make people understand that the truth of the matter is I don't really care who you are. at least in your societal standing. But I care for you and value you as a redeemed child of God. Those are two different things. Because this is such a big disease. Sometimes we feel entitled. That is why I started off by telling everyone that we are here only by the sheer grace and mercy of God. Put that in our mind. I was talking with someone. This was, I think, several weeks ago. This person is new to our church and he wants to serve in the church. I was like, man, I'm so excited for you. Kapatid, what do you think about joining the ushering ministry? And he was like, I'm done with that. Okay, what do you think about joining the kids ministry? And he was like, And it's like, I was reading between the lines. He was like, oh, I know what you want. I know what you want. You want the pulpit. That's what you want. I didn't tell him that, but I was thinking about that. You want the pulpit. You want the pulpit, brother? Here's the broom. Because at the end of the day, our motivation matters. Because if you take glory for yourself, it will destroy you. So it doesn't matter if any of our worship leaders might be off note and stuff like that. Hindi naman po sila ganun. Magagaling naman po sila. Because at the end of the day, what matters is the heart. Skill will qualify you, but I want us to understand our motivation is actually very important. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, look at this one, Mark chapter 10, verse 35. This is the other context. It says, sir, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. That's the account in the book of Mark. Have you ever been hostage by a request? It's like you don't have any choice but to say yes. This is what they're doing to Jesus. But like, Jesus, say yes first. Say yes first. What do you want? Say yes first. Say yes first. That is what they were doing. Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Then you shouldn't have called him Jesus. You should have called him Santa Claus. Wait a second. Is that how our Christianity is like? Why are we here in the first place? Are we here because of what? Are we here because of what God can provide? Or are you here for God? Because if we're here only for what God can give us, then if it is not God's will for you to have that, you're going to desert God. You're going to abandon God. You're going to abandon the faith. Because you've approached it in the wrong footing, for that matter. Are folks with me? This is not how you reach the place of honor and blessing in the kingdom. That's not the way. Let's look further. I love how Jesus is so confrontational, but he's gracious at the same time. Do you realize that's a difficult kind of leadership? Imagine if you were Jesus and your friends tell you, we want the seat of honor. It's annoying enough that it will really irritate you, for that matter. Here's what Jesus says. He tells them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? In their confidence, they says, we are able. Hindi lang ma-power play, hindi lang wrong motivation, mayabang pa. Minsan po, ewan ko lang kung nabasa niyo to, pero alam niyo po, ayaw na ayaw po ni Lord ang haughty na spirit. Pag mayabang ka, talagang babagsak ka. Kaya huwag masyadong mayabang, lahat tayo maagnas. Kasi evidence lang po yan ng entitlement. Mark lang yan ng entitlement. He says, you do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? He says, you will drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. What was he talking about? You know, Jesus was talking about a cup. It's quite interesting because they were talking about a throne. Jesus explains it with a cup. It doesn't add up. Jesus was saying, you want the throne? Can you drink the cup? You don't know what you're talking about. Can you drink the cup that I am drinking? What was the cup that he was talking about? Remember the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus was praying before God before he got crucified. And what did he say? Lord, if it is possible, take this cup away from me. But Lord, not your will, but let your will be done. The cup that he was talking about was the cup of suffering. He was like saying, you want the throne? You seriously want the throne? You seriously want the glory? Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to be in danger? Are you willing to have a thorn in the flesh to keep you humble for the rest of your life? That is biblical Christianity. At the end of the day, you know, the highest places of glory are reserved for those who went through the deepest places of suffering. Jesus was glorified when he went through such intense suffering for us. So here's the question. If that is the case, then in heaven, what's going to happen? Who will receive the greatest reward in heaven? Is it you or your seatmate? Who will receive the greatest reward in heaven? You know, because this matters, friends. Alam niyo po, kasi yung reward mo, ililay doon mo yun before sa throne ni Lord. So pangit naman na pagdating mo doon, wala kang may lay doon. Lord, sorry, buhok na lang. That is why, if you remember, Matthew chapter 19, Jesus says, the first will be last and the last will be first. Perhaps for those Christians na they don't tell about what they go through, we will just see them in the very presence of God in that day and be given such rewards that we thought we have or we thought we're going to have. Who will receive the greatest reward in heaven? Those who have paid the greatest price. Discipleship has a cost. Are you willing to pay the price? O ano pong gusto nyo? Nominal ka buong buhay mo? Ganyan na lang ba yung Christianity natin? Walang passion, walang zeal, walang conviction? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 explains and unpacks this for every single one of us, for this light and momentary affliction. I love this. Look at this one. It says here. Let's talk about affliction and we're going to end. Look at this one. It says here. For this light, momentary affliction. Look at this one. When it comes to your affliction, what is affliction? Sufferings. Affliction is suffering. It says here, for this light and momentary suffering. Your suffering, Bible says, is momentary. It prepares for something that is not momentary. It prepares you for something that is eternal. Yung weight of glory, eternal. Yung suffering, temporary. What builds a greater exceeding weight of glory? Affliction. That's what it teaches us. That's why we don't skirt around affliction. But take note, we're not just talking about any kinds of affliction na natumba ka sa bisikleta, natumba ka sa motor. That's not what we're talking about. This is not just kind of any affliction. This is affliction for the purpose of the gospel. When we are afflicted for the gospel, we are building up a greater inheritance of glory for eternity. Do you realize that this was a wake-up call for me when I was a young Christian? Do you realize that lahat po tayo sa kwartong to, all of us in this hall, you think it's only the Chinese people who are good with savings? We are all good with savings. We all save. Look at this one. Sorry, I forget the verse, but somewhere in the book of Matthew, it tells us that we lay up treasures in heaven. Right? You lay up treasures in heaven. Romans chapter 2 verse 5 teaches us, because of your impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in hell. So every single one of us here, we're good at savings. What do you save? You save up treasure in heaven? Or you save up, store up wrath for yourself in hell? Does it matter? Friends, it matters. It matters. You don't know what's going to happen to your life. But listen, would you want to hear the voice of God telling you, Archie, well done, good and faithful servant? Or you'd realize that you thought you were following Christ, but why am I here? And you've realized you've stored up wrath for yourself in a place that actually exists. For all of us here, Christians, for all of us here, if you're a Christian, we're on the same page when it comes to eternal life. It's the same. The difference lies in the weight of glory. Doon po magkakatalo. Mine is different from yours. Yours is different from mine. In the same way, the degrees of fire in hell is also different according to how people have responded to God's word. Jesus says, you do not know what you're asking. Where are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? They said, we are able. He says, we are able. Look at this one. I realized in the early years that I was Christian, I thought Christianity was all chill. Christianity was just cool. Christianity was like, man, I love all of this. But I realized that as I become older as a Christian, I realize, wait a second, it's not all swag. It's not all walk in the park. Truth of the matter is, things will not fall right in place for you if you're a Christian. Don't you ever think that you are at the center of God's will just because you're prosperous. Because you could be at the center of God's will, and God's will for you is to suffer at this season of your life. Here's what they said. Are you able to drink the cup? He says, we are able. What arrogance. What boastfulness. Madali pong sabihin yan. Is it right? It's easy to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. I'm gonna follow you, Lord. It's easy to say that. But guess what? Words too, guys. When Jesus was arrested, gone with the wind. It's easy to say, Lord, we are able. Minsan, ang lakas natin maka-worship sa church. Pero pagdating sa classroom, tameme. Pagdating sa opisina, pag-usap ang Jesus na, tameme. Pero dito, ang lakas maka-worship. Ang lakas maka-preach sa Twitter. Ang lakas maka... Pero hindi kaya maisabuhay. May hugot si Archie. Malamang meron. I'd like for us to take this as a lesson. Grade 8 students like Lexi and Judy can teach us such level of convictions. That when their teachers would tell them, you're gonna have to do this if you wanna have this kind of grade. But if they're gonna do that, it's going to violate their convictions, Christian. And their decision was, all right, we'd rather have bad grades than have a bad relationship with our Lord and Savior. Yung iba sa atin, parang, bad grades kasi kaya I said yes na lang. Sayang, affliction sana for righteousness sake. You missed it out. This is what I was saying last week. All of these things are useless if there's no application. Where do you apply the word? Because that's where the tension lies, in the application of God's word. He says, you will drink my cup, but for you to sit at my right hand and my left is not mine to grant. Jesus was talking about suffering. Now, I'm not saying that in the Philippines, if you're a Christian, you don't die for your Christianity. Is it right? If you go at Lee Plaza, you guys know that guy at the Boulevard, he's been preaching there since I was like in college. Have you ever encountered that guy at the Boulevard? Habang nag-zumba yung iba, siya nagpipreach? In Dumaguete, no one kills you because you're a Christian. So your affliction here in this world doesn't lead to death. So what is my affliction now? Your affliction could be what? My affliction could be loneliness. Because I'm a Christian. Why? Because my friends wouldn't want to have anything to do with me anymore because of my conviction. And I feel lonely to a certain extent because they don't want to associate with me anymore. They don't want to hang out with me. I cannot hang out with them even though I want to. Then that could be your affliction. Your affliction could be, I might remain single for the rest of my life because every single person who's trying to pursue me, they don't love Jesus. That could be my affliction. I might have a bad grade because I stood up for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in school. They want me to watch this. They want me to do this, but I can't. I just can't because it violates my conviction. And now I get this red mark. Lord, the greatest red mark that I've ever received. Are you folks with me? The newer ones were promoted. I've been in this company for 8 years now. I was not promoted because I just cannot submit to what my boss wants me to do. I can't have this much money because I cannot undercut a deal. Affliction for righteousness' sake. Make it count. That's the only thing that has a bearing in eternity. Can't bring your money with you, friends. Can't bring none of these things with you. What counts in eternity is our decision here in this lifetime. Kung meron pong the fellowship of the ring, meron pong the fellowship of suffering. That is what Christianity is all about. Look at this one. A few more things that we're going to end. Verse 24, it says here, when the 10 heard it, they were indignant at the two brothers. Nagalit sila. They were angry. They were not eavesdropping. They overheard the request. And they were so angry. They didn't say that, ang kapal naman ang mukha namang tao to. No. They were angry. You know why? Kasi po, naunahan sila sa request. Sabi ko na nga ba, dapat ni-request ko na yung kahapon, naunahan tuloy ako. Paano natin nalaman? Luke chapter 22, verse 24. A dispute also rose among them, the 12, as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. Cringe-worthy verse in the Bible. Sa ministry po, mag-aaway-aaway tayo. Meron pong ganun sa ministry. Habang nagsaserve tayo together, meron po tayong tension. Nagkakayakan natin ang ministry. Pero okay lang pag ganyan pinag-aawayan natin, pero pag pinag-aawayan natin, sino mas great? Tapos ako mas great. Ignay, ako mas great. Ako mas great sa kingdom. Imagine that kind of tension. Doesn't honor God at all. Doesn't honor Him at all. Here's what Jesus says to rectify the situation. Then we're gonna end with this. Jesus called to them and says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. That is dominant dictatorship, which is very present in their time. It shall not be so among you. He says, that is how the world does it. For you, because you're Christians, because you're associated with me, it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. The word servant there is the word diakonos, which means deacon. It's not a place of honor, but it's a place of service. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. First, there's the word protos. And the last one, there's the word doulos. So it's like saying, for those who want to be protos, let him be the doulos. Which simply means a bond slave. Jesus was rectifying and correcting their thinking. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The path to glory is the path of service. The path to glory is the path of pain. The cost of greatness is persecution. For some, it may be death. But for us, it may not be death. The cross comes first before the crown. You want to be great in the kingdom? Be the greatest servant. Amen.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.